LeBron and Bronny signing simultaneously today. A max deal and a guaranteed rookie deal. Who got which? We'll divulge. But bigger news for the Lakers. Naming assistant coaches Nate McMillan and Scotty Brooks. Why is that bigger news? 31 years ago in a playoff game, these two fought each other. Is 31 years enough for cooler heads to prevail? Or is this better the Lakers have assistant coaches who are prepared to fight each other? Let's go around the horn. Oh, I love watching that old video. I saw a little Michael Cage in there. Incredible. Incredible look on Michael Cage. First team all. Jerry Curl. Lakers offseason in totality. LeBron max deal, 2 years, $104 million. D'Angelo Russell opt-in. And the draft of Dalton Connect and Bronny James. And that is it. Bronny signing today for 4 years, $7.9 million. That's a club option on that fourth year. Including the J.J. Redick hiring. Lakers adding assistants Nate McMillan and Scotty Brooks today. You can do it all. Let's get a grade for this Lakers offseason and where on the improvement scale it lies. Around the horn, Harry Lyles Jr.
Tony, I give him a B in the sense that there wasn't a whole lot for them to do in terms of at least options and wiggle room. But it is pretty bland in terms of improvement. Like, this is still a team that is going to be a play-in tournament team. Like, they are still very much behind Oklahoma City. They're behind Denver. They're behind Dallas. They're behind New Orleans. And you might be able to put them in a tier with Phoenix and the Los Angeles Clippers. But this is a team that I am not going to be trying to talk myself into as a title contender next year. They are what they are, and we have to absolutely accept that for what it is. The Dalton Connect pick was good because they absolutely did need a shooter. They're talking about possibly still getting DeMar DeRozan, but that's not going to change the fact that this is a team with one of the oldest stars in the NBA, and Anthony Davis, who is sometimes healthy, sometimes not, and they're just not in a place where they're competing in a conference that is the best in the NBA right
now. Emily Kaplan, grade this Lakers offseason.
Is meh an option? You know, Harry talked about the fact that they didn't have much wiggle room. Well, that's because their 40-year-old billionaire just took $104 million, also got to draft his son and pick his coach. Woo! And, you know, he talked about wanting to take less money if they could get a star. And Ramona Shelburne had an excellent story out today about Klay Thompson's pursuit in free agency. The Lakers were willing to give him more money, more term. LeBron was trying to recruit him there. He would have taken less. And he grew up a Lakers fan, right? And his dad works there. But even he didn't want to go there. And that's an indictment for where they stand league-wide right now. And it felt like LeBron saw that and was like, yeah, let me just get this contract signed and go to Team USA camp. And I think we're going to expect more of the same from LA next year because of
that. Mina Kimes, you're in Los Angeles. Grade this Lakers offseason.
I mean, I agree with Harry. I'll give them a B because they didn't have any moves. But when you take a wider view, they didn't have any moves because of decisions they've made that put them in the place that they're in now, backed into a corner, which I would say drops it to a D if you're thinking about this holistically. Look, missing out on Klay in and of itself, not a huge deal. Yes, they could have used his three-point shooting, but I think he is clearly a declining player and has some struggles on defense that would have maybe elevated this team from a play-in to, I don't know, a seven seed? I mean, they're not a contender, and there was no moves to be made. There remain no moves to be made that would put them in that position to compete with the likes of ascending teams like Oklahoma City and Minnesota. And as I said, they're in this position because of mistakes made in the past, not mistakes made this summer. I don't think they've made any mistakes. But some of the decisions that they have made, you talked about D'Angelo Russell, who they kept on the team, the Westbrook trade, some of the players that they hope to develop amongst the margins. That's
those
why they're backed into this corner to begin with.
But I'm interested if anybody believes
I'm angry.
The max extension for LeBron at this stage of the game, $53 million a year, whatever it winds up being, is a mistake. Bill Barnwell, around the horn of you.
It's not a mistake, but this team needed to get better around LeBron James, whether it meant trading D'Angelo Russell, whether it meant adding another veteran, because this team had to add pieces to just be as good as they were last season, according to the win-loss column. According to their point differential, which is usually a better indicator of how you're going to play next year than win-loss record, 47-win team in real life, 42-win team by point differential. So they were actually pretty lucky last year. Plus, they got as healthy of a season as is humanly possible from a 39-year-old superstar who turns 40 next year. So you can't count on LeBron being as good next year as you had this past season. So they had to add veteran help. They could not just rely on the draft, especially when one of those picks was going to be Bronny. They had to add more around LeBron James. And you're the Lakers. find a way. Like you can make the cap work. You have an advantage over.
That's been said before. You're the Lakers. Find the way. It hasn't been the practice over the last 5 to 10 years that they have found that free agent who wanted to, other than LeBron James. Bronny's guaranteed rookie deal has gotten a lot of notice as well. Yesterday's introduction, J.J. Redick said Bronny has earned his spot through hard work.
And I don't give Bronny any.
How do you hear that?
Bronny has earned this.
I think that J.J. Redick was intentionally trying to defend Bronny when the criticism of him is obviously higher. I think Bronny has earned the opportunity to be an NBA player. I think this idea that we are trying to police the sanctity of second-round picks is a little extra, to be quite honest with you. Like, Bronny was still a player that was an All-American last year. He is a good basketball player. He had a cardiac arrest that he suffered that set him back at least 5 or 6 months. So if you're going to take a risk on a player that, again, was one of the 15 best in the country at the high school level just 2 years ago that had this issue that took him off of the basketball floor, I don't think it's this massive deal that he is being given a chance on as a second-round pick, not just a second-round pick, the fourth to last pick in the NBA draft. And I'm sorry, I think it's kind of cool that the greatest player of all time is now getting
a
player.
And when you say All-American last year, do you mean high school All-American 2 years ago?
High school All-American.
Not a starter at USC last year. Bill Barnwell on everyone noticing the 3 years with the club option, 4 year, $7.9 million deal for LeBron.
Harry's right in that it is cool, and that's all the Lakers have to say to justify this pick, but that's not what they're saying. They're not saying, hey, this is cool for Bronny and LeBron. They're not saying, hey, Bronny is a high school prospect who might play better given an opportunity. They're saying he deserves it. They're not acting like this is a big deal. They're reportedly calling teams during the draft and saying, don't pick Bronny, even though he deserves it, or we're going to have him go to Australia. You can't have it both ways. The public is smarter than that, and I think it's creating this sort of undue criticism and undue hostility towards Bronny before he's ever played. That doesn't need to happen.
That's why someone like Bill Plaschke wrote, it's unfair to Bronny. Mina Kimes, I'll give you the last word on the Bronny rookie deal.
Yeah, I mean, from J.J. Redick's perspective, his job now is to manage a locker room, which makes what he said fine. It also makes it open to criticism. And I think the correct reaction to this is not outrage over a pick or we don't have to all applaud it, but rather a soft chuckle. That's how I feel about it all, and I think that's appropriate.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Let's talk WNBA All-Star roster now. Here we go. The 12 to take on Team USA. Highlighted by those two first-timers, those radical rookies, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. The list, the snubs, if you want a snub on, you got to take an All-Star off. Around the horn, Emmy Kaplan.
I'll take Kennedy Carter. I mean, maybe this is recency bias, but last night she had 26 points, including a personal 6-0 run to close out a close game. You could take off Kelsey Mitchell. There's a lot of Indiana Fever representation. And that brings me to my larger point, because maybe Kennedy Carter was hurt by an incident earlier in the year with Caitlin Clark. The amount of engagement increased to the WNBA this year cannot be denied, and it coincides with this rookie class. Caitlin Clark is going to get the first opportunity to play with Angel Reese. They've never even played together at USA Basketball. And Caitlin Clark said, it's awesome, but I hope that we can focus on the other woman. Guess what? That's all we're going to be focusing on. And it's cool. It's great that we're seeing this much engagement, but there's no doubt that this rookie class is what brought in so many viewers.
Mina Kimes?
I mean, I'm focused on a lot of, I think, aspects about this All-Star game that make it much more interesting than, really, frankly, any other All-Star game and maybe any other professional sport, which is to say the revenge factor. I'm excited to see Clark and Reese play together, no doubt, but Caitlin Clark isn't the only player who was snubbed, depending on how you view it, off the Olympic roster. Pardon me, Arike Ogunbowale, who many believe, myself included, should be on the Olympics team, is on the WNBA team. I cannot wait to watch her play. I cannot wait to watch both of these teams because I think this is going to be a fantastic
match. Well, this is the second time they're doing it, right, against Team USA. And the last time, the WNBA All-Stars won. And who was the MVP of that game? Arike Ogunbowale. So, Bill Barnwell to you on your takeaway. And maybe if you get a snub, who you're putting on the team.
I've got a stuff. I'm going to swap some veterans on and off this team. Dawana Bonner, I'm taking off, fourth in PER on her own team. What about Tina Charles, the legend, maybe playing in her last All-Star game potentially if she were to make it? Out of the league last year, back averaging almost 14-9 this year, covering for some injuries in Atlanta. I feel like she maybe deserves that kind of, all-time appreciation spot on the roster.
And Harry Lyles Jr.
Tony, one of the individually specific things that I am looking forward to in this game is just people's reaction when we get that first Caitlin Clark assist to Angel Reese. Like, you got to just enjoy it at that point, guys. Like, we don't got to do this, like, you know, both sides type of deal and just hatred. Like, that is going to be fun basketball. I'm absolutely looking forward to that. But Mina brought up something that I was also looking forward to. Specifically, we talk about Caitlin Clark being snubbed from Team USA. I thought Arike Ogunbowale had really interesting comments. She went as far as to say that, like, there's politics involved in everything. I think that you are going to see some super intense play from both her and Caitlin Clark in this game, in which a matchup that I think when you look at it on paper, Team USA looks like they are definitely better, and I would certainly pick them to win this game. I think it's going to be more competitive than people
overall
think.
Vote totals by a factor of 600% greater in this past year. Ooh. For All-Star voting, just in 1 year. For Reese, the emotion hearing the All-Star nod was incredible. The Rookie of the Month award she won for last month was announced this week. Last night, a 12-19 double-double in the win over Atlanta, which is her 11th straight, which is the league record for single season. She's one off if you split it over two seasons, but we don't need to do that. This is the all-time league record already. Emily, how big a deal is a double-double record? What does it mean that Reese is doing it?
Massive. She gets this unfair knock that a lot of her rebounds are off of missed shots. Well, last night, only one of them came from that scenario. 14 came defensively. So she's working really hard. She looks more comfortable as she gets along with the pros here. Also, she's cleaned up her act, a lot less fouls, which has kept her into games. It's awesome.
Mina Kimes.
I mean, it puts her firmly in the Rookie of the Year conversation race with Caitlin Clark, which is going to make this riveting down the stretch. It's been a landslide before. That will not be the case this year. Angel Reese, we talk about rookie records. She leads the league in rebounds per game. Caitlin Clark is third league-wide in assists per game. This is going to be a massively entertaining competition.
Bill Barnwell.
Yeah, I really admire her consistency, right? I mean, rookies, they're inconsistent. They have big games. They have games where they struggle. Maybe they're not ready to play in a certain day. The fact that she's been able to do this game after game so consistently with double-doubles really impressive.
And Harry Lyles Jr. on the double-double record.
It's the consistency, but it's also the fact that she is doing this as a rookie. She's 18 games into her career. We talk about the learning curve. We've heard that so much over the last handful of months about how that's going to be for this rookie class. And to have that consistency, 19 rebounds in a WNBA game is incredible. So the fact that she is able to maintain that, I think honestly the bigger thing too with this is how great it could be for the Sky moving forward, because we knew she was going to be able to rebound. If she continues to develop her offensive game, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, you would say she's exceeded expectations, right? There is some
yes.
Hemming and hawing whether her game would translate or anything. The all-time record for double-doubles. Did you know who had it previously? Okay, well, you can't tell me it's that big a record if you guys didn't know. Candace Parker has it over 2 years. Sylvia Fowles is who Reese passed last night. She's taking a break by herself next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This radio commercial was made to convince you to stop speeding. We can't use siren sound effects on the radio, so we'll use other equally jarring sound effects to get your attention. Like telling you that whether you drive a little over the speed limit or a lot, you can crash just the same. You could hurt yourself or worse, others.
I'm at the scene of the collision.
And the damage you cause will be beyond repair. See? We didn't have to use crash or siren sounds after all. Speeding catches up with you. Brought to you by NHTSA.
Zachary Risache, number one pick, only part of the Atlanta Hawks offseason, trading Dejounte Murray. And could they be trading Trae Young next? Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Michael Cunningham positing that they need to pick a lane here, make a decision on the future of this franchise. Harry, you're in Atlanta. Buy or sell a Trae Young trade, and who should be in play?
I'm buying it. I think Michael's got the right idea here. The worst place you can be in the NBA is in that range where you're winning 40 to 44 games a year, and you're basically being an extra in somebody else's movie. And the Atlanta Hawks have been that for the last 15 years at least. So, look, they don't have their 2025 pick. They got rid of DeJounte Murray because that experiment did not work. Trade Trae Young, get more assets, restart, maybe, I don't know, send him to the Los Angeles Lakers. Make a trade.
Bill Barnwell, around the horn to you. Should the Hawks trade Trae Young?
They shouldn't trade Trae Young because there's no benefit to them tanking. The Spurs have not just their 2025 pick, but their 2027 pick and a swap in 2026. So unless you're going to get those picks back from the Spurs, who I don't think want Trae Young after getting Chris Paul, why would you trade Trae Young?
Mina Kimes.
For players? For other picks? It has to be on the table, but the problem, I think, isn't the prospect of trading him. It's that you might be selling him low. He's coming off of a career low in games. They played an almost historically bad level of defense when he did play last year, and I have to think that's going to dampen his trade value to the point where it might not be worth it.
And Emily Kaplan.
I think Bill is bang on here. The only way to get out of this purgatory is to tank, but you can't tank when you don't own your own picks. They're going to be mediocre for a while, so why not keep the best, most talented player you have, who's only 25, and can put butts in the seat? It reminds me a lot of the aura of the Chicago Bulls and DeMar DeRozan right now.
Buy or sell two, baseball. Shohei Ohtani, home run number 27 last night. He's saying no to the home run derby. Aaron Judge, home run number 32 last night. He's already said no to the home run derby. Right now, Gunnar Henderson, the one participant named. Mina, should the league be focused on getting some stars in this competition, or do the revamped rules have you watching no matter what?
Well, earlier I said that the WNBA All-Star Game might be the best All-Star Game. The Home Run Derby is the best All-Star Game in all of professional sports, and MLB must do whatever it takes to maintain that, including pleasing stars, ensuring that they're encouraged to continue playing and not risk their health by changing the rules if necessary. I think that was a wise move.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, they have to incentivize for these guys to do it. I don't know what you're going to do about Ohtani. He's always going to cite rehab. But in the sport I cover, hockey, do you think Sidney Crosby wants to show up to his 10th All-Star game? The league works behind the scenes, makes accommodations to make sure he shows up. And if they don't show up, like Alex Ovechkin, you suspend them a game at the end of the All-Star break. And that's an option, too.
So you would suspend somebody. This isn't the All-Star game. This is the home run derby. This is an added-on competition. You think the league would be in their right to suspend somebody for not participating in the home run derby, Emily?
It's in the collective bargaining agreement in the NHL. If you're healthy enough to go and you choose not to go, you can't play in your regular season game. It's so important for the league to have these showcase events, and this is the marquee event of MLB All-Star Week.
Harry Lyles Jr.
I mean, if it's going to get the biggest names there and the biggest bats, I think Emily's right on with it. I mean, the fact that I know for me when I was growing up, if you told me, hey, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., Sammy Sosa, Carlos Delgado, Vladimir Guerrero are going to be there and they're going to see who can hit the most balls over the wall, I'm in. I don't care what the rules are. Like, so as long as you get that, Major League Baseball is doing it right. If they're focused on anything else, their focus is in the wrong spot.
Bill Barnwell.
I think the best moments in the Home Run Derby are always the young guys breaking through and having their moments on the national stage. Go back a few years, think it was 2017, that three-way battle, Vlad Guerrero, Pete Alonso, Jock Peterson. Those guys were not household names. They became household names because of what they did in the Derby. With Gunnar Henderson being the one player who has announced for the Derby, I feel like get young guys in there, get those guys on national television, give them an opportunity to break through. The stars are already stars. They don't need the record.
I don't know, though. You ask me, Home Run Derby? What do you remember Josh Hamilton at Yankee Stadium? You remember McGwire over the monster, Sosa hitting the ball, six. I'd be fine with cork bats and juice balls for home run derby. I just wanted to go as far as possible. But I remember the big names performing. Griffey. All right, big games performed today. Mina Kimes and Harry Lyles. Just not enough to get into showdown. It's Emily Kaplan. It's Bill Barnwell. Some fireworks coming up next.
Are you ready to build your company's dream team? Just like in sports, finding skilled players is essential for success. With Robert Half's winning combination of specialized recruiting professionals and award-winning AI, we'll help you find the MVPs and key role players who will have you hanging banners in the rafters. Because in business, it's all about having the experienced team on your side. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Real quick, what's the easiest choice you can make? Window seat over middle? Beach vacation over camping? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Guardians White Sox game on the line. Here's the ball Bo Naylor hit. Was it deep enough for a game-winning sac fly? A question you might ask. And it was answered immediately by Luis Robert when he didn't even try to throw home. He said he had no chance. His manager agreed with him. He said, why are we dissecting it? He had no chance. Emily, what is this? Did he have a chance?
Yeah, of course. This is inexcusable, but Chicago's had a miserable season. This guy's in trade rumors. He clearly doesn't want to leave Chicago, and I don't blame him. He's trying to hurt his trade value. Who wants to leave somewhere in Chicago? It's the best.
Bill Barnwell.
This team is 24-63. Their manager got kicked out for arguing balls and strikes in the seventh inning. This team, you've heard of quiet quitting. This team is loud.
Yeah, I mean, the manager can say whatever he wants publicly. You got to be having a conversation. You have to throw that ball. The runner could fall on the way down. You have to throw that ball. Showdown 2. Mentioned earlier, J.J. Redick's new assistant coaches, Scott Brooks and Nate McMillan. Well, here it is. There's an NBA history lesson for you, kiddos. These two fought each other famously in a 1993 playoff game. Bill, is 31 years enough to cool this and for it to be okay?
Yes, if hockey players can get into a fight in game 3 and shake hands at the end of the series, coaches can get over a fight after 31 years.
Emily Kaplan?
I respect the hockey analogy, but I think it's a little ironic that we're talking about the two adults in the room that are supposed to help out J.J. Redick in like a 3-decade feud. But there is one way to solve this. Yeah, get them hockey style in training camp, put Bronny in the middle, and release all the steam.
I think the Lakers staff needs to show some fight. The Lakers need to show some fight. That's a good thing for them. We'll split that point. We'll move on. All right. No Euros today. No Copa today. We're still guffawing. Let me hear a guffaw over the goalkeeping. Turkey's Mert Günok in last minute of stoppage for Turkey to beat Austria. And it's just incredible. And then also yesterday, Costa Rica's Patrick Sequeira in the third minute of stoppage in their win over Paraguay, although they did not move on. What save was the best save, Emily?
Well, it's got to be Turkey because of what happened. And that game was epic. Austria dominated in chances and possession. So for them to have that dramatic moment in the last minute to move on to the quarterfinals, not even close.
Barnwell?
It's Günok because this save is being compared to Gordon Banks on Pele in the 1970 World Cup. When you're going to compare it to a save that was almost 60 years ago, that tells you how good
this
save was.
Wow, a history lesson from Barnwell is what puts him over the top for the FaceTime.
Jurgen Klopp, this is my answer to you. Please come coach the U.S. men's national team. You don't need to. You are a star elsewhere. You can make millions of dollars going to coach in Saudi Arabia. We, as a country, are begging you to come here. Be a national hero. Live in Malibu. Take over this team because this is our best chance of becoming a men's soccer country over the next 50 years. Jurgen Klopp, here's my number. We'll talk later.
There he is. You got a birthday this week, right, Bill? Mr. America. Happy birthday.
Sir.